Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, Reed and Rev talk with Clay from Cincinnati Bitcoin.
Hey, Local Bitcoiners, Rev Hodel back again. And as always, I'm here with Reed. And tonight, we're talking with Clay. He's the organizer of the Cincinnati, Ohio meetup. This is going to be Clay's first podcast recording. So it'll be cool. No one's ever heard about the Cincinnati meetup before. We're going to be hearing it for the first time here. And as usual, I'm going to talk a little bit about my recent meetup adventures. And this most recent meetup I was at was the Southwest Michigan meetup in Benton Harbor, Michigan. That meets at Dweller's Co-working Space the first Thursday of every month. I always say that the first Thursday of every month is actually the South Bend meetup. And that's my meetup. The third Thursday of every month is the Southwest Michigan meetup, and that's at Dweller's Co-working Space. And so the cool story here with this meetup, as I mentioned previously on the show, I offer up the yurt and the tiny house that I built here at the homestead for local Bitcoiners to come stay at half price if they attend the meetup, either the South Bend meetup or this Southwest Michigan meetup. And I've had one person take me up on this offer previously, but for this most recent meetup, we had Buffalo come stay from the Grand Rapids meetup. So that was the second time someone had come take me up on that offer. It was pretty cool. And this was Buffalo's first experience at a different meetup other than the Grand Rapids meetup. And so he got to taste a little bit of the local flavor here in Michigan and how it can be different. And so we did our typical roundtable discussion, had some pretty interesting stuff come up, very much about the recent gossip of, how do we interact and respond to this BIP 110 thing that's on the horizon? Should we be participating in this? Should we be concerned about it? So on and so forth. That was kind of the big item of the discussion there. And then at the end, after our roundtable, we do our circular economy marketplace activity. And, I got a new phone and I didn't have a chance to really set up my Lightning wallet, my standard Lightning wallet that I use all the time at these meetups. But I did have my Minibits wallet on there, which is receiving sats from our core group of the show here, all of the community that is supporting us. And so it ended up being enough sats in that wallet to where I was able to buy all my stuff as usual. I bought 3 pounds of coffee, a pound of ground beef, and I was able to pay for some processing of some of my chicken eggs for freeze drying as well. And so it's just another example. On the last episode, I was talking about how I used some of the sats that everyone's throwing our way for the value that we put out here at the show to buy some beer. And those sats came in handy once again at the Southwest Michigan meetup. These sats that you guys are sending in, they're not, sure, they could be going into cold storage, but even better if they go back out into the local Bitcoiners circular economy. So I've been putting those sats to work. Very grateful to have the opportunity to spend them that way. So that's my story. Reed, how's it going over there?
Let's go, dude. I love to hear that. That's just another link in the value chain, right? Right. So your link in the value chain, it goes to your Minibits wallet, and then the value chain continues after that. And so hopefully we get to talk a little bit about that tonight as we normally do, which is the benefits of spending Bitcoin locally. So I don't have too much of a meetup story. So our next meetup is on July 19th. So this one, we actually have a little bit of a bigger, I guess I haven't really talked about it yet. So our meetup doesn't run on a X Sunday of the month. We run on a 4 week cadence, either a 4 or a 6 week cadence. And the reason why we do that is actually because, early on in the meetup, one of our members had a commitment every other week. And so we were, trying to be accommodative, and it just kind of settled in that that's the way we do things. And it also is kind of nice. It gives us some flexibility where, if on this particular Sunday, I've mentioned before that I have to travel for work, and sometimes that involves me having to travel on Sundays. And so if it lands on that week, sometimes it's convenient for me to just say, well, we'll just, it'll be 2 weeks after that. And so we line them up on the calendar that way. So it does make us a little bit more dependent on people actually checking the calendar and the announcements and stuff like that. So that's a downside. But yeah, so what that means is that this is actually one of those gap ones where we're going 6 weeks between meetups, which means our next meetup isn't till July 19th. So I don't have a meetup story, but I would like to talk just for a minute about our meetups page on localbitcoiners.com. So as you guys know, as listeners of the show know, I have been, you know, vibing away here on our website, adding features, trying to make a stronger connections within our community, giving lots of interesting features that we tie in with Noster, of course. And so we have this page, localbitcoiners.com/meetups. There are links to it from our new homepage. However, I just really wanted to share that if you share your meetup, and what it means to share your meetup is basically just drop your meetup into a boost. If you drop your meetup into a boost, you get listed on our meetups page. So right now we have two meetups there, Rev's and mine. So Rev's is coming up, South Bend, Indiana Bitcoin meetup, Thursday, July 2nd, 6 p.m. at Lang Lab. And then my next meetup is here, Western Mass Bitcoin meetup number 47, which is Sunday, July 19th, 6 p.m. So as more people share their meetups on this page, you know, we'll be able to read off more of those. And I think actually what we're talking a little bit about pre-show, I think what I'm going to do is we'll start reading these off, you know, right at the beginning of the show, just so we have a little bit, a short announcement period of, hey, here's the upcoming meetups for people in our core group. So there's some different ways that you can share your meetup. And so, what you're actually sharing is the Noster event that your meetup lives in. And so if your meetup isn't on Noster, we make it easy for you to go ahead and add it to Noster. So we have a create button. So if you want to create, it's called the NIP52 meetup. And that just is the event that defines how to get an event onto Noster. And so there are options here. You can import it from a previously listed event. So if you're logged in with Noster, it'll go look up, hey, you've listed all these other events. Your next meetup's probably just like the one before it. So you can just copy straight from that previous event. And it will bring in the title and the description. It'll bring in the cover image, all that stuff. And then you just change the date and you can hit publish. You can announce it with a kind OneNote. You can announce it with a boost to the show. Or you can do neither of those things and just post it silently as a new event. We have other options too, though. So for example, right? Like maybe you don't want to list your meetup on Noster. Right, you already list it in too many places. You don't feel like keeping track. Understandable, okay? You know, we think it's worth it. We've talked about it before in the show. But if you don't want to, we have an option where you can paste in an external URL. So you meetup.com link or whatever else, you can paste that in as well. You know, and throw a little boost message, and then we'll still read it out on the show. You know, it won't get listed on the page with the other Noster events, but you'll still have a way to boost your meetup and get the information out there. So we're hoping that folks will take a look at our meetups page and maybe consider adding their meetup onto Noster if it's not there, or sharing it with the show. And we'll try to get you some extra airtime. If you share your meetup here, we'll read it off in the beginning of the episode. So I think that's mostly what I wanted to go over. And so I'm happy now to turn it over to Clay. So Clay, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. Why don't you take a minute and introduce yourself and introduce your meetup?
Yeah, thank you guys for inviting me on. Happy to be here and appreciate the work that you're doing. So I'm Clay. I am in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I am one of the organizers with Cincinnati Bitcoin. And maybe I'll just tell a little bit about like my Bitcoin story and then how I got to the meetup. And that's kind of an interesting one-off. So I am one of these 2020 Bitcoin guys who came in definitely during the COVID rush. But my background is in in 2015 I found Austrian economics and was, you know, really enamored with that. And so it was just binging Mises Institute content and any of the stuff I could find to that. And I'd see pepperings of you know, mentions of Bitcoin on Facebook groups or like wherever the conversation was happening. And, you know, like everyone else, I ignored it. And I was really, at the time, I was really, really focused on paying off my student loans. So as I learned a bit more and became at least more sympathetic, I was like, I'm not doing anything with this until I die. But I was just going really hard during that time to get debt free. And, you know, kind of at the same time that I paid that off, I was, you know, as much as I could be at the time, pretty taken by Bitcoin. Like the very first thing I bought once I got my next paycheck was just a little bit of Bitcoin. And I have been going down the rabbit hole since. And if the last episode was the silent Bitcoiners, I may be, I don't know if this is a phrase, but like I would have been one of the lonely Bitcoiners. I didn't know meetups were a thing until like 2023. So I was 3 years into this. I happened to have a friend that I could be trading podcasts with and stuff, but didn't even know this stuff happened. And I happened to be in Charlotte for my first meetup. And that's a really awesome crew that have a lot of good stuff going on. And then got connected later that year with Cincinnati Bitcoin. And in 2024 kind of started helping, you know, being a little more involved in helping organize. So the setup, basically what we do right now is we're twice monthly generally. And so we try to keep a calendar cadence. So first Wednesday, we do content, workshop, learning, that kind of thing at one of the guys' offices. And then third Thursdays, we do a social. And so we've been rotating just around town with the idea of, you know, kind of the trade. And I've been thinking about this even as I've been listening to a few of your guys' episodes of like the value of having a presence at this place at this time, and people can kind of get to know you versus can we maybe get different crowds if we're going around town. Because if you're on a weeknight, you know, it's like it's tough to get off work sometimes and make it to this way or that. So that's been our game plan for a while. We, you know, I think last year, so in 2025 was really our year of, as these things kind of go, they transfer hands. And so I think our group's been around for the better part of a decade, and I think just organically different folks have kind of taken the reins on it as circumstances or whatever have changed. So when I was getting a bit more involved, we were kind of in one of those between spots. And you know, we took 2025 to you know, have a reliable product out there. Because, you know, if people don't know when it's happening or they can't really plan for it, we were sort of like, we'd kind of be in group chats and be like, hey, does anybody want to do something like in a few weeks? And we'd kind of spring it, you know, like it was a bit flying by the seat of our pants. So last year and like for the past 18 months have really done well to keep that cadence so that things are pretty reliable. And we even kind of see that in who might show up to like the Wednesday sessions versus the Thursday sessions. Cause even just like your different days of the week have different requirements of you. So, yeah, and we probably have eight to 15 people show up, every session. And, you know, for, I know it's not like one of the biggest groups, but a very faithful core group and really diverse group of folks with different interests and skill sets and different kind of lengths of time in the space. So I think we outpunch our weight and we're always kind of looking to do more.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. We've had, it's always so interesting. I'm really glad you went over that. Just because I don't know, I always find it fascinating listening to people. Like, how did you find your local meetup? How'd you get involved? And then of course we're always talking to the organizers. So everybody always kind of has a little bit of a different story about how they actually became the organizer. So it sounds like that meetup had been around for a while. Mm-hmm. And I guess like, how did the turnover process actually go for you? Like you were going there as a member and then you sort of just saw a little bit of the disorganization and just kind of stepped up to help out. And that's just, it just all sort of fell into place or.
Yeah. Well, and definitely not to like, to bash anybody if it came off that way, absolutely not what I was like implying at all, but like, yeah, you I guess I came into a period when it sort of was changing hands. And actually, the mutual, I had a mutual friend in the group that one of our non-Bitcoin friends and a former like Bitcoin hater had introduced us, because he's like, you guys are my wacky Bitcoin nerd friends. And so we had been like online friends for a while. And he was actually the guy who had kind of, we were just talking about this a couple nights ago, kind of in a moment of it looked like it was maybe not going to keep going. Whoever had been doing it before was, you know, for whatever reason, kind of letting go of it. He kept it going a little bit. And then, you know, when I was able to, 2023 was a pretty busy year for me. So even though I was aware of this thing, it wasn't a thing I could commit to at all. I was doing a lot of travel and different stuff. But in 2024, I was around a lot more and just was showing up and knew him. And just, you know, like, I think the first thing was I wanted to do a presentation, asked if I could do that. And then, you know, he was traveling for a few weeks. And so I was like, hey, I'm happy to put the meetup, you know, listing together. And so it pretty organically kind of went from there, as something that like I had capacity and desire to do, while he also didn't necessarily have plans to maintain that for too long. He had wanted to kind of keep it going long enough until somebody else could really come in and kind of take the reins, so he could be doing, you know, more of what he wanted to do. Cause it takes, I mean, even just posting meetups and attending and buying pizza and stuff, it always takes a little bit more than what you think it would.
So what was it like? You attended a meetup in Charlotte. That was your first meetup, but that's, I'm assuming that wasn't close. I'm assuming that you were not still in the Cincinnati area at the time,
yeah,
or whatever. And so then you find the Cincinnati meetup. What was it like the first time showing up?
Yeah, it was, I mean, luckily I knew someone. I can imagine that would be not the easiest thing to go to a place. And at the time, we now have one of the guys has an office for us to use, which has been such a blessing. At the time, we were using a design co-work space that somebody had access to. You had to go, not a bad part of town, but just like a kind of desolate part of town, and, you know, walk around the back to these doors that weren't always open, and one of us had to run in and kind of let you in. It was that type of thing, but a really cool design workspace. And I think the first one I went to was a Socratic seminar. And you know, especially after going to the one in Charlotte, which they just have a great operation. And I went to one of the socials at one of the breweries there, got to pay in Bitcoin for, like, it was like the first time I was ever out and got to do that, which was really sweet. So just the idea of being around these people, like I was so amped anyway that like any nerves were not there. And then, yeah, it's just like really quickly, I think that, you know, Bitcoin and then all the things that go with it, I think for how diverse of a group we are, it's so cool at the same time that you can snap into like, these are my people, even if they don't look like me and don't live the way that I do. Like, we have some really fundamental core things in common. And so that to me, as a Bitcoiner finding a meetup, that was a really smooth end. I'm sure it's a totally different experience if you're not a Bitcoiner, and we always try to be like aware of that person too. But I was immediately like really interested, and it's where most of my energy and time and just my brain is wanting to go anyway. So yeah.
So at what point did you, after attending, so you were hooked right away? And that was the same thing for me. And honestly, a lot of the meetups that I go to are very much what you've described, as this sort of back alley type of an entrance to this more underground space. And I personally really enjoy that flavor of a meetup venue. But, you know, you're hooked right away. You go, you find this meetup, and you're like, dude, these are my people. And it sounds like you then sort of attended for several years, but, or several months or whatever, for some period of time. When was it that you really were like, or was there a tipping point where you're like, I could be more involved in this? Like you said, you wanted to do a presentation. Mm-hmm. What really made you feel like you wanted to give back to the community?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think like later in 2023. And again, and I don't know everyone. I know some of the guys were kind of in these previous versions of this group. And I think there are a couple kind of guys that are in our core group that were also a bit newer kind of on my timeline. And we naturally, I think the guy who was sort of running it had organized this a bit, but there was, I know like that conversation basically of, hey, like what we were basically like, let's get together and plan out the next 3 months. And that was the first time that core group had gotten together. And it was really simple. It was just like, what days do we want to meet? Let's just pick those. Not even like, what are the events, but just like, can we do 2 days a month for the next 3 months? Can we commit to that? And it was like, if we can do, if it works for us, that's good enough, because we know we'll have an audience and people who are willing to commit. And I think like during that time, I think I probably picked up pizza one time when the guy I knew like it was going to be late or something like that. And naturally, I think it was kind of coming from me at a really similar time. And I felt that a lot more probably in like 25 into 26 of like, I'm getting a little bit older. I have a general desire for leadership, which I would have never said that about myself, but I'm just finding that at work and church here of like, I have my entire life been going to events where there's magically pizza and I get to eat the pizza. I get to have the free coffee. I get to, I get to basically be a consumer. And, you know, whether it's the Bitcoin thing or just getting older or a combination of both, like I've just had this desire to lead and to build something. And this was also like just a super organic, obvious need where I was like, I can do this. Doesn't mean like I know everything or I'm an expert, but like I got time and I can put a page together and I can just kind of make decisions for us. And so it's been something that I wanted, and then the opportunity is there, and it just kind of, it just a perfect coincidence and combination. I kind of like the takeaway is as I've been thinking about this sort of in the past few months is like, nobody, you can have too many cooks in the kitchen, but I don't know that we have like a surplus of leaders in our world. And so like, if you're feeling that, I would follow that. Cause usually like whether we're in the Bitcoin space or not, like usually the people doing things are under-resourced and they need help with even the little things. And so you like, I think because I had showed competence with one, I was consistent to show up. Two, I presented on a few topics. So just like, this is a competent enough guy at least. And I think most of the time, like it's the things for the taking are for those of us who show up. I don't think it really takes extraordinary skill most of the time, but the extraordinary thing is just like, who's going to keep doing it after like a few weeks when it loses its luster. So if you're like me, who's, I always feel new in the Bitcoin space, no matter how long I've been here, like we need work, whether it's meetups or building apps or these circular economies, anything else. So I think it's just it's an opportunity rich space, however you want to plug in.
Totally agree. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was great. I remember too, like, so after I started my meetup, like my very first goal as a meetup organizer was to find people because I wanted to meet the other Bitcoiners in my area. And like, I had my first meetup and one guy showed and that was great. But I was like, you know, there's more than one person around here. Like there's gotta be. And so, but I remember like after I found we started getting regulars and our attendance started going up and we switched to the educational format. And I actually started kind of asking myself like, this is, you know, obviously this is like so fulfilling and I get to hang out with other Bitcoiners, which is great. But like, why do I feel so called to do something here? You know? And I finally kind of put my finger on it and I brought it up. I actually had a whole segment on it for my meetup. So we do a Socratic seminar format. And I had one of my topics be why are Bitcoin meetups important? And one of the topics, the kind of the opening topic that I brought up, and again, I was trying to be a little bit controversial just to like wake people up a little bit, but I kind of brought up the point, you know, there's nothing that guarantees 21 million. You know, that it's a great meme and stuff like that. Death taxes, 21 million. It's never going to change. It's impossible, blah, blah, blah. But it totally is possible, you know? And so because Bitcoin is such a grassroots thing, it's so important that we continue to keep the culture alive and we continue to reinforce all of these principles that we all just assume are never going to change, but they can change. And so it's important that we go around and continue to reinforce these social rules because, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Bitcoin is, it's a consensus system. It is what we all agree that it is. And so what I had brought that up with my meetup, and I guess I'm kind of curious, what are some of your sort of guiding principles? Or I don't know, if maybe you haven't had the chance to step back and think about it, but have you ever stopped to think about, you know, what kind of important functions that your meetup is providing?
Yeah, I think that primarily, I would say it's the social component, and we do a good job of complementing that. But ultimately, you know, I was talking about at the last meetup with a few guys that have been there longer. I guess there have been times where there have been more people, and a variety of reasons that could explain that. But I think ultimately, I did a presentation a few months ago on how to survive a bear market, and it was a lot about when this happens, it's okay to be rattled. Let's take a moment and kind of let's look at the fundamentals. Let's kind of look at previous bear markets and stuff like that. But, you know, ultimately it was one of the things that I was saying at the end was you're here, find your people is one of the biggest things. Cause in these moments, it's reasonable. This thing drops 50%. We still don't exactly have the narrative like we had in 2022. That should be understandably a little unsettling, even if you've been here for a minute. And so it's it's just good to have people. I know that this group, the space is a lot of men who we know we don't have, there's kind of this loneliness epidemic. So at the very least, it's just dudes going to grab a beer. I think that's really critical. And then, you know, the educational component, I kind of mentioned, we have a pretty diverse crew. So we have, I'm kind of the econ nerd. We have quite a few engineers who have been in the space for a while. They work in the space or they do other engineering type work. They know mining, just all these. So not only is it an opportunity for them to get up kind of in front of their people and tell about something that they're interesting, we like to learn different things too. So if it were just me, you'd be on your way out. Cause I only have so many tools in the shed, but, yeah. So I think generally the social component, and then when I was mentioning, we wanted to be consistent, and that was kind of a thing that we were lacking previously that we wanted to spend last year doing, our hunch that we haven't solved yet is that Cincinnati is not a small town. We have multiple pro sports teams. We have Fortune 500 companies and a decent tech presence. We know there are more Bitcoiners here. We just don't know where they are. They might be the silent Bitcoiners. They might have, who knows? They might have become disinterested, have families, just any of the reasons. But we definitely want to have a thing that is there so that we can receive those folks as well as any new folks. That's probably the most common kind of drop-ins we have are those folks who found it on Meetup or somewhere else, and they happen to like to come during a Bitcoin 101 week or something like that. So it is kind of tough to you can't service everyone all the time, but we try to keep it well-rounded for our own sakes and for anybody else who might be coming in, that even if you come during one of the Bit dev type sessions, that were a welcoming environment so that you didn't feel like this was entirely intimidating and over your head. And I think that's something that we do pretty well.
The consistency is so important, because a lot of times someone might have heard about the meetup and you didn't even know that they heard about it, and they wanted to go and they couldn't make it for whatever reason. And then if they don't know when the next one is, they can't plan to come to the next one. But if now there's this, you know, that this day of the month, you know, I'm going to be able to get to this meetup. Eventually they'll be able to get there. I like to call it holding the door open, right? So
yeah.
These people will know that the door is always held open. And then you have the core group, right? The core people that are always coming. This is like the permaculture concept of the polyculture, where in my food forest, there's all of these different perennial plants. They're all working cooperatively to collectively make what ends up being the culmination of this forest. And every plant in the forest produces some sort of yield in the form of food. And so the core group is in a lot of these meetup situations is that polyculture that creates the space for the new people to come in and glean the nutrients that they need to get whatever they're getting out of the Bitcoin journey. So in as far as your core group goes, I could give some examples. Like in Grand Rapids, there's a lot of people that are interested in running Lightning routing nodes. So like you could go up to that group and get a lot of really great information about running Lightning nodes. In the Southwest Michigan group, there's a lot of people doing homesteading and this permaculture stuff and a lot of this home mining, you know, mining for heat aspect of things. So you could come to this meetup and that polyculture there can teach you a lot about growing food and using Bitcoin mining for heat. So I guess as far as the polyculture of the core group at your meetup goes, is what would you say are like the some of these aspects that you could come and learn about from these folks?
Yeah. And again, like that is even interesting to me that like this meetup has kind of a thing and this meetup has a thing. Cause I don't know that we have like the thing, but we have guys doing cool stuff and are really educated. It's great when they know things that I don't. I've mentioned that we were meeting at one of the guys' spaces. So, he's got a project called Distributed Charge he's been working on for a while. And it's basically making Bitcoin the native payment method for the energy grid with like hardware devices, open source software and standard protocols. And like he just launched late last year an EV charging station that's testing that's with Bitcoin Lightning payments. So like I think that's a very real world application. So he's got it. Unfortunately, most of the guys don't have EV cars, but we occasionally, if somebody has like brings a Tesla, he's like, oh, let me come out and show you, and they get to charge their car and like do a, you know, like that's a real transaction they were gonna have to do. So that's really neat. One of the guys, he works at Lygos under they do like non-custodial Bitcoin collateralized loans with DLCs. And so like, you know, instead of I got to get my Bitcoin to an exchange to get the loan, like they have, you know, custody solutions that are, I guess, kind of multi-sig. And then one of the guys that introduced us, I mean, he was in Africa for a few months, in South Africa, and with a group called Bitcoin Ekasi. And he was doing a ton of different things over there with like Bitcoin education. But like they were doing, one of his big projects was solar powered mining with the local communities. And it's, you know, because like a lot of their home energy, like a lot of folks have, or at least like the wealthier folks have solar panels on their houses, and they have to deal with all like these rolling blackouts and stuff like that. And so he was trying to onboard folks there and a variety of other Bitcoin education. So like, That's already like a very interesting gambit. And then, you know, like I came in as like the token econ nerd. So I try not to inundate, but like I add that, and I'm really passionate about it. And as long as we don't do it too much, I think people like getting that background. And then we have a few other just like engineering tinkers who, one of the guys a few weeks ago, our content session was, we played Bitcoin Jeopardy, and he had vibe coded a Jeopardy game for us. And so like we got to do that. So we just have like, I just kind of think of it as like interested people are interesting. And so I think we have like a hodgepodge of guys who are kind of in that bucket.
Yeah. Typically the people that are into Bitcoin enough to make it out to a Bitcoin meetup are probably doing some kind of cool Bitcoin thing. And I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that you go to these meetups and you can meet these people, you can cooperate with them, you can learn from them, and you can start to build something new together. And that's the whole idea of the polyculture, you know, that we can all take our each individual components that we have to offer and maybe find something additive to where we create an even greater whole by working together. I'm interested in is it more like Austrian economics that you're interested in? Mm-hmm. So you have a presentation coming up, right? Or a workshop on this?
Yeah. So this is actually the very first thing I did for this group was a primer in Austrian economics. And I'm really passionate about it because I consider Bitcoin an application of Austrian economics. And I consider it like just one of the coolest applications of it. So that's how I got in. I mentioned that I was in there at about 2015 and not into Bitcoin until 2020. Would have been a great time to be stacking, but on the other hand, like I was kind of getting this Austrian economics base, and I think it was like it gave me the privilege of skipping my shitcoin phase. So at least I had that backing. I may not have been stacking, but I knew by the time I got into Bitcoin what that was and what that meant historically. So yeah, I just think that they're tied at the hip, Austrian economics and Bitcoin. And if you're listening to any Bitcoin podcast, you're going to have some exposure. And then even if you have an understanding of Bitcoin and you use Bitcoin, you are living out Austrian economics and you have some understanding, even if you don't have the vocabulary for it. But, basically Austrian economics is value subjective. And man expresses that value by acting to achieve a more satisfactory state of affairs. And so everything else follows from that. And that's a packed statement. So like this upcoming session, I'm basically redoing and revamping that session. It had crappy slides. So I'm using this as an opportunity to use Codex for the first time and try to revamp that. And so we're going to be going through subjective theory of subjective value and marginal utility and time preference. Those are like three really big topics. And whether you know those by name or not, it's kind of one of those things where let's talk about what that actually is. And then you're like, oh, like I knew that in some way, shape, or form. But these are like, whether it's to Bitcoin or just how we live. Like I think it's just when you're equipped with this, your ability to navigate the world, it just makes more things make so much more sense. And other schools of economics help you better understand those schools of economics. They don't really make me feel like I'm better equipped to go outside now and do things at work or otherwise. So it gets me amped. I'm for whatever reason, this is my jam and I love it. So they're good to let me do a session or two a year on it.
So when you do a session on Austrian economics, so I guess I wish I had what you had, which was I wish I had some Austrian economics background before I got into it, because I also had I had this shit coining phase too, which was terrible. But yeah, like, so after I found Bitcoin before Austrian economics and fell down that rabbit hole after I had already, started latching onto Bitcoin. So when you do these work, like, is your plan to just focus on, human action? Like, is that like, what is an Austrian economics workshop? Like, do you get into the price stuff at all? Or like, do you talk about global macro topics or store value assets and stuff like that? Or just Austrian economics?
For this one, I'm stripping it down to like I'm inviting like all my normie friends and like I want this to be, because I really think that like whether you're into Bitcoin or not, that I titled it, I was kind of like working on this a bit because I had a really boring title before, but I had ended up titling it "You're an Economist, You Just Don't Know It Yet." And that's really how I feel. It's sort of how we kind of think of like you're a pre-coiner, you're a Bitcoiner, you're just not there yet. We'll get you at some point because this makes. It's too good. It makes too much sense. It's free real estate. So Yeah, this is purely educational. And the last time I was trying to pepper in, like, here's where you see Bitcoin in this. And for this one, I'm just going to be like, hey, you guys, you be thinking about the Bitcoin stuff and in the discussion after, because usually we'll do like our meetups or for the content ones or kind of gather, have some pizza, hang out, just like talk 30 to 60 minutes on a presentation or whatever the content is. And then Q&A and kind of like linger, chat, disperse. So I figure I'll kind of lean on them to be like, hey, you be thinking about where the Bitcoin is during this. And then I'll have plenty of ideas. But, you know, I wanted to so much talk. If you're talking about marginal utility, like how that's where price is determined, like on the margins. And I think that's so important. But as I was tinkering with it, I'm like, it's really easy to get this crowded. And I think these three topics, like if you only knew subjective theory of value, marginal utility, and time preference, like those are really good things to kind of have the base understanding of what Austrian economics is, because you can kind of go from like nothing to seeing how civilization is built. And we can talk about kind of where hard money sits in there in kind of your positive, you know, capital accumulation and allocation loop. But yeah, this is just going to be kind of a content dump, which is what a lot of our sessions are. We do have like hands-on workshops, but it tends to be a bit more of the just kind of a lecture, and it's usually pretty casual. So if you've got questions or things kind of come up, we jam on that, but that's usually what we're going to do. And that's what I'll take with this one.
I didn't know much about economics when I got into Bitcoin. I was more studying this permaculture thing, which is essentially analyzing, working with, and developing these complex systems. And nature is like the most complex system. And so as I started to learn about Bitcoin, I was like, holy shit, this thing is like a digital natural system. It's a complex system that it's like this living thing that you can't stop. And so it made a lot of sense to me when I first got into it. And I was like, okay, so the more I study Bitcoin, the more information I learn about how nature works. And the more I learn about nature, the more I can learn about how Bitcoin works. And so this gets into that kind of, what did you call it? The subjective value concept?
Yeah. Value is subjective, which is like, it's very easy to say. It is probably the offering of the Austrian school. And it's like, we could spend a few hours on it. But yeah, like basically, previous to this, you would have had the labor theory of value, which is basically, I got to cut down a tree. Like if I want to make a chair, I got to cut down a tree. I got to saw it down. I got to cut it into pieces, glue it together, finish it, blah, blah. That takes time and resources. And that's what value is. And that's great. But like Reed doesn't want that chair. So like, how do we actually think about this? And this coming into like value being subjective is that we all want in a scarce world, we want different things at different times in different ways. And, you know, like that kind of gets immediately into marginal utility of like, I water is free. I'm not paying for it. I'm just going to go to the sink basically, unless I'm in the desert and, I'm willing to trade my net worth for one, because like I, on the margin in that moment in time, I need it to survive. And so we could go into that the whole time, but yeah, like that's one of those things that it's, you can say economics and kind of get freaked out about it, but like, that is how we operate throughout the whole world, is we're just making choices and we're like expressing that value as we act in a scarce world, making choices based on current knowledge, current circumstances, trying to rationally act and make a better future.
So since we're talking about some of the econ stuff, I guess my original question to you was a little bit leading, because I think that's I actually, because we're in the bear market now, and we never really had a proper bear market meetup, like all the times where I showed up to the meetup and was expecting big time bear market vibes, like the people, we nobody was there. Everybody was
firmables. Yeah. So
that's right. That's right. So at the last meetup, I actually had some stuff about how, you know, we don't really talk about number go up too much at the meetup. Like I'm not going to be putting candle charts on the overhead or anything. But we do, the fact is that probably everyone in this room, you know, or everyone at my meetup got into Bitcoin because number go up, like myself included. Right. So it is an important aspect. And, you know, when things aren't happening the way that you thought they were going to, you know, sometimes people can get a little bit thrown off. I think you kind of mentioned that a little bit. And so all I have done in the past, like when I cover quote unquote, like economics type topics, for me, it's more like, what is a store of value asset? What are store of value asset classes? Why are they important? You know, why do we need them? Because money has failed us. It's the money that we use today, you know, these fiat currencies, they don't store value. So we need to find all these other store value assets. And so that's how I've kind of approached it. And that's kind of what I was asking you before. Like, I guess the question kind of is, you know, do you guys find ways to talk about price? Do you guys find ways to talk about, like, how do you talk about that aspect of Bitcoin? Maybe it's just casually, but I'm just
curious. As in like the literal price of just like current events?
I guess kind of both. I'm just trying to figure, like, it's always been kind of, at least for me, like as a meetup organizer, it's a little bit of a tricky topic. Like I'm usually pretty careful. Like I certainly don't want to come off like I'm telling people that, like I don't stand up in the front of the room and say, buy the dip. You know, like I'm not that kind of a meetup organizer. So anyway, I'm just kind of curious, like since you're sort of the econ guy in your group, if you've had to deal with anything like that before.
Well, so like in that bear market session, yeah, I did encourage people to buy the dip. So that was financial advice to friends, I suppose. I'm not serving in an official capacity, but you know, trying to like price is a number, but it's not an objective measurement. So like we did talk about like why there can be a disconnect between price and like the fundamentals, and that is what like what's breaking it down. Like value subjective again, like I'll just say that over and over and over. And so like sometimes you hear like as it was getting to like 100,000 and like my hit resistance, or if it's coming down, there'll be people who are like, who's selling? It's like, I don't know, somebody who needs to sell or wants to sell, like I have no idea, and I don't care. Like somebody is, and somebody might be getting liquidated, I don't know. But like prices are like, I'm an athlete and I'm mostly trained by heart rate. And when I train by heart rate, I've got one metric that tells me, you know, like, I don't know, there's weather, there might be elevation, I didn't get good sleep last night, I maybe drank some alcohol, there's all these things. But like my body only really knows stress. And I'm able to measure that from my heart rate and how I react to activity. And so kind of in the same way, like price is this super powerful signal where like it is like the price is what we come to from all of these inputs of this hyper, you know, your nature example, this hyper complex economy. So I really wanted to get in the price stuff in this next presentation, and we're just not going to have time because it's probably too much, but it might be a bonus topic. But I think like we are generally not talking about, we might talk about things like that, like what is the price in terms of how did we get here and what does it actually mean? If it's like, if I just told you all the fundamentals are good, why did we crash by 50%? Like, I think that conversation is really healthy because we're just trying to figure out what the heck's going on and like, are we missing something? Who knows? because just because value is subjective doesn't mean there's no logic to it. And so I think like that's an interesting kind of point, as opposed to this is a good price, this is a bad price. But I think most of the time, like we're in the same boat. Like we're not really talking about that unless occasionally you get a new person who comes and we, like you said, we all get in for a number go up, but it's like the once you, that Neo and Morpheus meme, it's like, you know, like once you understand, you won't have to sell. And like once you're in, like you're not checking the price anymore. And so like that, it becomes boring after a while. Like even if it moves, you're kind of like, I'm already numb to like these price movements. I just want to, you know, maybe buy more. But I know I'm rambling, but I'd say it's like price is not a primary thing that we're focusing on. It might just be like current events at a social that we just kind of riff on and end up talking about other things. We're not particularly preoccupied by it.
I think one of the cool things about Bitcoin is that it's a store of value, right? It's what how people are kind of putting their savings into this. But if you compare it to a lot of other store of value things, it's incredibly liquid compared to a lot of that stuff, right? And when you take that, the knowledge of that, the fact that it's incredibly liquid, for example, and this is going to kind of make you, I'm basically going to ask you for your opinion on this concept that I've been thinking about. As I've been earning more Bitcoin and I've been finding more opportunities to then directly spend that Bitcoin and never touch fiat, I am much less concerned about the price because the velocity of my sats coming in and going out has increased. And mm-hmm. So if I'm earning 100K sats today and I'm spending 100K sats tomorrow and I'm earning another 100K the next day, what does the price matter? It's more about the liquidity of that asset and the flow that I can create. And so I'm just wondering if you have any opinions on like, as velocity increases in some sort of money, how does that change its value?
So the Austrian school is not as concerned with the notion of velocity as other schools are. And like, as an example, like if I'm probably going to strawman it a bit, but like Keynesianism, they would say like the health of the economy is aggregate spending. And so we're concerned with velocity because if money's going from here to there to there to there, it's moving hands. That's stimulative, even if it might be inflationary, that's stimulative. And that's a good thing, which is their justification for let's lower the interest rates to zero and pump the money printer. So I think if we're thinking about like that man acts axiom, I think it's a really cool thing that like, depending on how long you've been in Bitcoin, there are, and I tend to find this with like folks who have been in longer, they maybe have hit like their BitLife crisis where they're not really looking to like accumulate. They are looking much more to spend. They kind of have this, and they got in earlier when it was the like peer-to-peer cash was like, it was really that. And we weren't thinking of it nearly as much as store of value. And they're kind of like, oh, I wish people would spend this more. I want to get this circular economy going. And then these people over here who are using it as a store of value and they're still saving are like, why would you spend it when like, you know, it's going up? And so like generally, I think what's one of the really cool things about Austrian economics is like it sees savings as a good thing. And if you think about it, like, you know, it's really easy for people to say like, oh, you got lucky, you got in 2013. And like, and you just got to ride it up. And anybody who's been in that long, I was not, but like, I can look at a chart and say, it doesn't look very fun. So you got like that notion of like hodling is such a, I mean, it's beyond a meme, but that really is like in the Austrian school, savings is the bedrock of civilization. Like we cannot lower, we need to lower our time preference so we can have savings, invest in capital goods, be productive, make profits, and then that's just a loop. So savings is really critical. And also what you're talking about is like also, again, value is subjective. I right now am more of an accumulator. I'm very happy to spend, but I'm not desperately going out of my way to try to find it, where you might be in a different position where you're like, I want to see this network grow. I really value the peer-to-peer process of this. And so maybe I wouldn't think about it more like, I mean, we can maybe not like stereotypical velocity in terms of economics, but like that notion of it, like you said, liquidity and like ease of payments of like, I can go somewhere, I can pay for a beer. I know my guy with chicken, you know, the farm eggs and things like that. Like, I love both of those use cases. And I think both of those people, the people who want to spend, the people who want to build the rails for us to spend, and the people who are still hodling as it's, you know, dropped 50%, we are all like market actors doing our part. And that's kind of the beauty of it. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's kind of my zoom out view that I look at.
Can we riff on this just a little bit more? There's another aspect to it that maybe I didn't quite define as well. And so if in every economic interaction, the whole reason why you did that economic interaction, I bought something and that person sold me something, we both won that trade, right? Because that's why the trade happened. Yes. And so therefore this is generative in terms of capital. And mm-hmm. so if you can increase the number of trades happening, that means that you're increasing the generation of capital. What's missing right now in Bitcoin is the opportunities for these trades to happen. But as I guess my theory is, and what we've kind of been seeing in these little circular economies here in Michigan, is that every month that we're doing our little circulation of buying things with earning Bitcoin from each other and selling things to each other for Bitcoin, as the price is generally going up over time, that means that we both have what we wanted at the end of the day from each other. And at the same time, we end up with more sats in cold storage because we need less sats over time to make those same economic exchanges. And so the velocity in our instance is actually allowing us to save more Bitcoin.
Yeah. And it really, yeah. Because it's a different way of like, I mean, if you're transacting in a way it is earning in Bitcoin, you're transacting things as opposed to like services in this context, but it's the same idea. So yeah, in general, that is like the best way to accumulate is to earn it and not even have the middleman of like, I gotta go to an exchange and like pay a fee and this. And like, in you always like, I'm converting my whole check to Bitcoin maybe, but like, I don't actually, cause I have these other bills and stuff. So yeah, I think that's really good. And on the flip side, like if you, again, there are people who are valuing it. They are hodlers and they're not selling and they're not transacting. But man, like if you make it the easiest way to do something, if you make it, if you have a private solution and I really value that, or when we really get down the line, if I can't get those pasture raised eggs because he doesn't take anything other than Bitcoin, yeah, like I'm going to reconsider my value proposition of hodling if I really want those things. So I think that the circular economies are important because like somebody's got to, yes, eventually somebody has to start spending. Like hodling is really cool, but we also, one is like, especially on chain, we do need people transacting to keep the health of the network up. That's like a whole different problem. I have mixed thoughts on that, but yeah, it's again, it's just like your market. Also, this idea, we kind of say the market like it's this monolith thing, but it is, again, like it is individuals acting. And I think that we get like, I was even thinking about this recently, is like the notion that we as a country have like an interest rate is like the goofiest thing ever, because like how that would work is like your bank would have one, or maybe like a region would probably have kind of interest rates the same way like box of cereal costs what it costs for me is different for you and you and your different like locations. So yeah, like I think there's like plenty of room for all of us, but you might have like, for whatever reason, the this polyculture you're talking about over here is like, we're calculating this differently. We're on a different plane. So we're spending and we're going to get this thing going. And the beauty, you know, when we talk about circular, like when I was talking about that model before of savings into production eventually, yeah, it's the same thing. Like trade, if trade, assuming like voluntary and not coercive and all of that, like if trade is win-win, we want a lot of trade happening because that means we're winning a lot more frequently. But I never want to, with that, discount that saving also applies in that world. We just might not be like in those same kind of, you know, polycultures that you're talking about. Thank you for letting me think that out loud. I appreciate that.
And I know we haven't really been talking about it in this episode, but we've talked about it quite a bit in past episodes. But it seems a little bit counterintuitive, but spending your Bitcoin is actually good for privacy. Right. That's how we start breaking. But like if all you do is you buy your Bitcoin off the exchange, save it in cold storage and just accumulate UTXOs and then send it back to the exchange to convert it to fiat so you can spend it. Like that is horrible privacy practice. Like really what you want to be doing is you want to get your Bitcoin out there and get it actively engaged. Right. Start moving your sats around, start earning sats, start spending sats, get those things injected into the economy so they can start actually circulating. Like the more hops that you can do between the last time those coins have been KYC'd, if you want to think about it that way, you know, the more, you know, the less they can rely on all their heuristics and things like that to try to connect the dots. So, And you know, just the health of the network too, like you were mentioning, like there's so many things about the health of the network that are improved if you're actually spending your Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's such an awesome point. Like with the privacy part of it, I've been thinking about that a bit more recently as that's, especially when I was newer, that was not remotely a thought I had considered. And now that's more of a priority, as I'm more experienced, but yeah, like, earning the P2P beats the KYC, and it's like one of the ways you win.
Well, and I guess the Austrian economics also has this concept of is, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think that I've heard that the theory is that money converges to one. Mm-hmm. Like there's not usually many monies, like the actual money is one thing. And I don't know if that's possible with Bitcoin unless you have the liquidity to actually spend it beyond the exchange and flip it back into dollars. If that's the only thing you can buy with Bitcoin is dollars, is that really money? And so I think it's incredibly important to start to seek out ways to gain more liquidity for your Bitcoin beyond just flipping back into dollars.
Yeah. You know, like typically what are the three functions there? Store of value, medium of exchange, and unit of account. And we're like in that phase right now of like, I mean, some people don't even consider a store of value. Most of us, I think, do. We're trying to get to medium of exchange. And then, you know, unit of account will be a huge one. I don't know when that happens. But yeah, like, I think it has to be those things to be money. I operate as if it is that because I'm projecting out into the future, but like, yeah, like for sure, it's not there yet. I don't go many places and see, things priced in sats, but now I can press a toggle on a Square terminal and do that. So it's like, we are getting wins and it's really cool. But if you want to see this as money, eventually it cannot just be a store of value for you. It has to be those things. And I think that like, I think that's kind of the beauty of I think you guys have been in the space longer than I have. So that there is like, I think that we have these different timed cohorts is interesting because we always get to like, if, if there weren't enough people reminding you it's a store of value, you might be obsessed with medium of exchange. And I don't know what the consequences are of that. But on the flip side, like kind of thinking of the folks who are these early adopters wanting to be more progressive, like if you make it really, I do like spending in Bitcoin, even though I am generally like trying to save. But boy, if it's just a toggle right there on a Square terminal, like, yeah, I'm spending in Bitcoin. So like you guys doing like all the work to make that go, you know, I think both of those things are really healthy. And I tend to believe that the tension is good. And again, thinking like if you're kind of thinking of consensus and, you know, like what it takes for us to achieve that in Bitcoin, I am of the belief that it's a good thing that it takes us a minute to do it. But yeah, I love it. Love it both.
Dude, we're so close to the unit of account. And as you mentioned, sorry, Reed, I didn't mean to jump in front of you there, but I'm kind of like vibing with this whole idea here a little bit. So we've got the store of value, right? Everyone gets it. You stack sats, you get more purchasing power. That's pretty much true over long periods of time. Right now, might not be the case depending on when you stacked your sats, whatever. Store of value is there. A clear objective of Bitcoin. Medium of exchange is starting to come on. Here we go. We got the ability to, even though we're pricing in dollars, we get to spend our Bitcoin priced in dollars to get stuff, to buy things. And I think when we flipping into the unit of account is maybe more of a local phenomena, because once again, I think this has to do with velocity, right? If you have a situation where you have the opportunity to move your Bitcoin a lot, you can pretty much get everything you need with Bitcoin. And then you're at the same time able to earn the Bitcoin. Does it matter what the price of Bitcoin is? No, it actually just matters the amount of sats that you're moving around. That's if the velocity is high enough in any given area, then you might not even be paying attention to the prices closely because the sats are coming in and going out so quickly that it's actually easier to, instead of changing the prices based on these minute couple percent differences in the dollar price, you just say, it's easier to say 10K sats, 100K sats, whatever. And so that's, I think, what is going to be the necessary step for Bitcoin to move into unit of account in certain areas, right? You're going to need enough opportunities for velocity to allow for people to stop thinking in dollars and just make it actually becomes easier to think of it in terms of sats.
Yeah. And we're actually an example, like our podcast is an example of that. Right. Like I was going to actually bring up that exact same point that it's kind of a local phenomenon because it's just up to it depends on where you are. Like in our case, maybe it depends on where you are on the internet. But like all the metrics and stuff that we track, you're not going to find a dollar symbol anywhere on our website. Like everything that we do, we only really care about what the sat totals are. Like we care about crossing certain thresholds of sats. You know, we're definitely not concerned about how many dollars or what the dollar value of our sats are flowing. So, sorry, I jumped in front of you now. Go ahead, Clay.
I already forgot what I was going to say, but I like that. And I see that with, I know what I was going to say. Like when you talk about it being local, we don't have that here yet, but like, I know, one of my really good friends, who kind of, he's my Bitcoin sensei, got me into this whole thing. Like we, you know, most of the time when we're hanging out, it's like, yeah, I'll buy a beer. Like I'm not going to have you pay me back. But when we, you know, we were in the, championship of our fantasy football league. So like we put a wager in and we did it, you know, did it in Bitcoin. So like, so that relationship, cause I don't have a ton of these, that's one where we're not doing dollars. Like why would we? And so you, and the same thing, it's like, I think if you've got a bit more than, oh, just your buddy, like you can do that. And then you guys, one is you can kind of say, I value it enough to be inconvenienced, even if you like wanted to, if you actually did want to see the dollars, if it made more sense for your brain, but you're like, I value promoting this for what it's doing for me and what it's like the example of for others, or eventually you're like, no, I'm entirely on a Bitcoin standard. And that's how I genuinely think of the number of sats, not the conversion rate. Then that also is like your value statement. But like, yeah, there are different ways to get there. And I think like, it's even cool for me to hear that idea when other people are doing that of like, oh, again, a little bit of a challenge statement. Like, can I get there? And just at least be thinking that way, even because it's okay to be like, I'm not there yet, but being there and like continually challenging yourself to kind of get deeper and deeper. Cause I think like for me as a Bitcoiner, the amount of times I've said to myself, I'm all in. And then I'm like, oh, I still have like my fiat, like life savings has been, my emergency fund that was the base because I never touched it, which was really fortunate, you know, like, and so I have like all these moments of, oh yeah, now I'm all in, I'm a real Bitcoiner. And then I keep having these like glass shattering things. And it's like the life version of Stay Humble, Stack Sats is like, as you're on this journey, you're also like, it's not just to grow your stack. It's to like keep yourself growing. Cause I'll hear other people doing really cool stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, dude, like I'm a nobody. I'm a fraud. So I appreciate it. It's humbling that way.
Well, and you know, without the meetup, how likely is it for those opportunities to arise? It's way more likely if you have a bunch of Bitcoiners that you're surrounded by to do it now. And so that it's small and slow solutions. We talk about it, you know, it doesn't happen in a snap of a finger, but it doesn't happen if you don't start a meetup and you don't start finding your local Bitcoiners and you don't start finding opportunities to start using Bitcoin as money with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and asking, I think, is also like it's one is like you don't have to ask the Bitcoiners. I mean, they're going to be sympathetic to you. But I think then when you guys are making your circular economies, like you start to make a culture of, oh, this can work and this is a thing. I don't know if you remember your first time like asking somebody at a store or a bar or something if they accept Bitcoin, and they like almost worse than the no, like the scoff is the like the confuse. They don't even know how to respond because then you're just like never mind. You just pull out your credit card. But yeah, these meetups are such a great place to like. That's kind of the lab that we can find our people, whether it's like your circular economies or whatever, of like the ideas, the transacting, the anything, so that we can make the thing that somebody else who's not in a meetup, maybe not a Bitcoiner, can see like, oh, that's working. Like that guy's got his local beef guy, like he knows a rancher or something like that. That's an example of one that's getting really popular right now and like a great Bitcoin use case.
Hell yeah, guys. Dude, this was great. I'm really glad we got to cover some of these topics. I don't remember, Rev, if you said it at the beginning of the episode or if it was before we hit record, but this is stuff we haven't really gotten a chance to talk about, a lot of this stuff. So yeah, I think this was a great episode to try to kind of lay it all out there. So, I guess, Clay, you know, thanks again for coming on. And I guess before we leave or before we start transitioning here to our value for value section, I just wanted to throw it back to you and see if you had anything that else you wanted to hit that we haven't had a chance to, or if you had any kind of key takeaways or anything like that you wanted to kind of leave off with.
No, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate you guys doing this podcast again. Like I mentioned, I kind of started as a lonely Bitcoiner, and then I, you know, from the busyness of life and just kind of keeping meetups going, I forget there's others of us out there doing the same thing. And I think this is like, I didn't know I had the need for something like this until we got introduced and I started listening to your episodes. So this is so awesome. And then can I plug the meetup if that's okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you're in Cincinnati, we typically do first Wednesdays and third Thursdays. You can find us on Meetup at Cincinnati Bitcoin. Our next one is July 8th, and we'll be doing more of this Austrian economics stuff. So if you enjoyed it, please come out. We'd love to have you. We've got free pizza and drinks, and I think a really good group of folks. But yeah, thank you guys for having me. And just like, thank you for the work you do. I just appreciate people doing stuff in this space.
Yeah, well, we're really happy to have you on. And I know I've mentioned it before, but you know, you said, you know, this is your first podcast. Certainly, I think you did fantastic. No one would ever know that this was your first podcast. You nailed it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like when we decided that we were going to only interview Bitcoin meetup organizers, it's such an incredible pool of talented people to try to pull from. You know, we're all leaders and we're all putting ourselves out there. And, you know, I think you're an excellent example of that. So definitely happy to have you on the show and thanks again. But, how about you, Rev? You have any kind of key takeaways or final wrap up thoughts?
Well, to take it all the way back to the beginning, Clay was kind of discussing, you know, how he found himself desiring this role of leadership and taking that desire and stepping up at the meetup. And now here he is, he's organizing one. And there, I think there's a lot of opportunities for this. If you're attending the meetup and you think that, you know, these people got it under control, there's probably something that you can do to help. And I don't think that I don't think that you're going to be stepping on anyone's toes if you decide you want to organize a social meetup at your favorite bar down the road from your house and see if any of the other local Bitcoiners want to come show up and meet you there. And that takes a little bit of a burden off the organizers as well when people just start to organize their own thing. Well, now that they have access to the culture and the community in the local area, you can do your own thing as a one-off, invite people over to your house for a barbecue, whatever, you know, you can step up and just, you can either depending ask for permission or just do it. And beyond that, like, because there is this community around your meetup, a lot of the determinations of like the broader ecosystem of Twitter and Noster and what people are talking about, it matters less. What ends up mattering more and more is what's going on in your local area. The price of Bitcoin might be different in your local area. If you have opportunities to buy Bitcoin or sell Bitcoin for cash, that price might not actually mirror the ticker, the spot price that you see on TradingView or whatever, because people might be charging premiums. People might be so hard off to get rid of their Bitcoin that they're willing to let a couple percent go. Who knows? But the prices are local. The benefits of knowing the people in your area, you have, like Clay was mentioning, you have access to these people that are doing badass shit, creating EV charging opportunities to stream Bitcoin. People that have experience in other continents, teaching people how to mine Bitcoin on solar. Just so many great people that you can gain access to by going to the meetup. And once again, all of the interactions, you can make it what you want because it's your local community. That was my big takeaway, is that the local aspect of it is definitive in your experience.
And I think that's why we see so many different, you know, I think at one point, Rev, you were talking about how, you know, each meetup sort of has its own identity. And honestly, it's because we're all different, right? We're all coming at this with our own unique blend of people and experiences and all that stuff. So, you know, just for everybody listening, you know, I know we say it 10 billion times, but, you know, go find your local meetup. Right. If you don't have one near you, start one. You'd be really amazed at the type of community that you're going to end up getting involved with or end up building. It's a really great experience. And there's really a ton of value that you can get out of it for yourself, but, you know, also for Bitcoin. All right. Well, that's a good place to close it off. So, Clay, you know, we always open it up to, you know, you're, of course, welcome to hang on with us. We do spend quite a bit of time on our value for value section of the show. The reason why we do that is because we, just like in our Bitcoin meetups, value our community. And so we spend a ton of time getting to know our community. People send in questions, people send in comments, people tell us about the stuff that they have for sale. And that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about all that stuff. So that's our value for value section of the show. And it's become a huge part of what we do here. So definitely, Clay, more than welcome to hang out with us. Chime in. If you hang out on Noster, you might know a lot of the people. You know, we're pretty big into that community. So, but yeah, I think why don't we just start diving right into it?
Let's do it.
So our first leaderboard that we always cover here are our top episodes. And so now we've got the nice little top episodes banner. And as I've said many times before, as I introduce this leaderboard, these episodes, if you haven't listened to all our past episodes, maybe you're new and you're looking for, you know, you really like this episode, but you're kind of curious, like what are some of these other episodes that we've talked about? We've talked now, this is our 17th episode. So that means we've talked to a whole bunch of different Bitcoin meetup organizers. Well, if you take a look at this leaderboard, it will tell you these are the episodes that people have found the most valuable. And we know that because they've sent us their sats. You know, we talked a lot about in this episode, the velocity of money and subjective value and things like that. Well, you know, the value that we're providing as part of this podcast, the value is subjective. And so how are we going to know how much it's worth? Based on how many sats people are sending it. So with that as a long preamble, let's dive in to our first leaderboard here. So first place, this would be episode 15 with BTC Russell with 280,897 sats. These are episode sat totals, Rev, that I thought I'd never say. It's just absolutely phenomenal, the feedback that we've gotten. And I think if it's not obvious to you guys, you know, so episode 15, that was with BTC Russell. And if you don't remember BTC Russell, he donated his split, which we give all our guests splits. He donated his split of all the show's proceeds to the Samurai developer families. And so this is to Keon and Bill, our biggest episode of all time, has a big split of that going right to the Samurai developers. So if you haven't checked out episode 15 with BTC Russell, definitely get in there and check it out. It is called Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell from Columbia, South Carolina.
And if you want to continue to support Samurai, you can go boost that episode and some sats will be going their way. So it's a great way to show your support for the show, get your promo in or whatever you want to do with your boost. And at the same time, help these, you know, these martyrs basically that did what they thought was right for Bitcoin. And now they're paying the price for it and we can help them.
100%. All right. Second place on the top episodes leaderboard is episode 2, going all the way back to episode 2 with GC and James from Jersey City. That one has 152,369 sats. That episode is titled Meetups Are the Ultimate Web of Trust. And it's our first episode ever that we had guests on. Episode 1 was just Rev and I, where we kind of lay down some of the fundamentals and the basics of starting a meetup and what some of the challenges are that you'll see when you're running a meetup. But episode 2 was where we finally got a chance to have some guests on. And, you know, one of the key takeaways from that episode landed here in the title, which is, you know, once now that we're all spending all this time online with the rise of AI and these other, you know, deep fakes and things like that, it becomes that much more important that you get to know, you know, your community in real life, in person, like meet your fellow Bitcoiners. And so we talk a lot about that in episode 2. And I think everybody got a lot of value out of that episode. It's been on our leaderboard for a long, long time. Recently, it's kind of shot up the list here because people are passionate about keeping it there. So definitely, if you haven't checked the episode 2, go back and give it a listen. All right. Third episode is episode number 14 with SourceNode. And that episode has 112,456 sats. That episode is titled Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode from Greenville, South Carolina. That was another really good episode. And, you know, again, it shows here in the sat totals. So SourceNode works for Sovereign. We're going to hear more about Sovereign coming up here. But that was a really good episode where we really got to spend time with SourceNode learning about his meetup, We got to talk about some great permaculture principles, one of Rev's favorite topics. So we made sure we had plenty of airtime for that stuff. And so if you haven't checked out episode 14, go back and give that one a listen. Fourth place, episode 9 with Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City, with 98,618 sats. And episode 9 was titled Growing Slow Builds Strong Communities. So growing slow has been it's a permaculture principle. Growing slow builds strong solutions. Something like that.
Small and slow solutions. Small and
there
slow
we
solutions.
Go.
That's the way to do it, the resilient way. That builds resilience. You're less brittle.
There we go. You know, I'll eventually get these permaculture principles memorized. Getting there. But that was a great episode. We talked a lot about value for value. That was where Rev and I sort of started getting a little bit more tied in and up to speed with what all the other V4V podcasts out there and some of the V4V music stuff we started talking about in that episode as well. And so just kind of learning from each other and trying to build off of each other as we all are growing into this value for value ecosystem. If you haven't checked out episode 9, it's one of our most popular episodes. We actually have some interesting other statistics that we don't normally talk about, but episode 9 has received the most number of boosts, which is, we don't usually talk about that statistic, but it has 25 different people have boosted that episode. So that's, even though it's not number one overall here with the number of sats, you know it's a good one because it's been boosted so many different times. All right, and finally, rounding out our first leaderboard, fifth place, episode 5 with Augie, 64,884 sats. And that one is called The Meetup is the Farmer's Market, which continues to be on our leaderboard. It's been on the leaderboard, I think, almost since that episode launched. It's been one of our most popular episodes, and we still talk about these circular economies and how to get this stuff started all the time. And episode 5 is just an excellent, has a million examples of how you can turn your meetup into a circular economy. All right. So that rounds out our first leaderboard. Let's move on to leaderboard number 2. So leaderboard number 2 is called our Top Listeners Leaderboard. And this is our listeners who have boosted the most number of episodes of all time. So we like to call this our ride or die list. And so these are the folks who've been with us from the beginning and who have boosted or listened to or streamed us stats, all the different ways you can contribute to an episode. These are the people who do it. You could even call them our sort of core group, right? Like just like we've been talking about with our meetups. You got your meetup, you got your core group at the meetup. This is our core group of listeners. So at the top of this list, as always, Matthew D. Matthew D, a perfect 16 out of 16 episodes, keeping the streak alive. We got another good boost here from Matthew D that we'll be reading off tonight. And also tied for first place is Perminerd. Perminerd also perfect record, 16 out of 16 episodes. Perminerd had a streak a week or two ago where he was kind of blasting, doing some catch up. But that's what we want, right? If you want to be part of our core group here, if you want to be on this leaderboard, you can just go through our website and just start going down the list of episodes. You know, I bet a lot of people, I know it happens to me all the time. I'll be listening to a podcast, I'll get to the end, and the next podcast just starts up and I never go back to Boost. Happens all the time. Well, now's your chance, right? Log on to localbitcoiners.com. We make it as easy as humanly possible, as easy as it can be, to actually send us stats and get some credit for it on the website. So check out the website and, you know, be like Perminerd, right? That's what Perminerd did. He went back and got credit here for listening to all those episodes. All right. So we had a tie for first place. We've got a tie for second place also. So Nostergang and Shadrach both tied at 10 episodes apiece. Also, long time ride or dies. These guys have been on this list and up in our boost section of the show for a long, long time. Thank you both to Nostergang and to Shadrach. We know you guys are out there. We know you guys are listening to the episodes. And thank you so much for, sending us some value. We really appreciate it. And then rounding out the top 3, I know this is, we're on our fifth person here, but third place belongs to God's Death. God's Death, we've been talking about probably since episode one. Maybe he hasn't gotten every single episode in, but God's Death, you know, we see you and you're up, you're right up here at the top of the list here. Part of the core group, 8 episodes. All right. So thank you to all of our top listeners, and hopefully we'll be rolling out, continue to roll out more features for you guys on the website and possibly some other things. So be on the lookout for that kind of stuff.
And so the last thing I want to say about this core group, our top listeners, is that, you know, if you want to go and make this boost sprint and get up on this leaderboard, all, you know, ties count. What you're doing is you're not just supporting local Bitcoiners. All of the guests on the show get a split too. And so that means that you're supporting Bitcoin meetup culture in general. You're giving a little bit of sats to all of the guests that have been on the show by going back and boosting all these episodes. And so that I couldn't be prouder to have, you know, 5 people that have got in and participated like that and really shown their support for local Bitcoiners, for all the local Bitcoiners everywhere.
You bring up a really good point too about the show guests. And this is another thing, you know, I did have a chance, I think, to mention it very briefly, but we haven't spent almost any time talking about it. So we do have a supporters page on our website, but we also have a new homepage now. And right there on our homepage, the third item down on the list here is a preview of our local Bitcoiners community. And right there at the top is a list of all the guests who have ever been on the show. Which I think as the show continues to progress and we keep cranking out more episodes, it'll be a really cool list to have to always go back to. And so you can check out our guest list, and it lists them all in order. It even tells you which episode that each guest came onto. So if you're going through the guest list and you say, oh, geez, I didn't know you guys had on Johnny, you know, Del Fuego, Delgado Fuego. Oh, that was episode 12? Well, bam, now you have a link to episode 12 right there, and you can go add it to your queue on Fountain or Castomatic or Podcast Guru or wherever you're listening to podcasts. So we hope you check out our guest list. We also hope you check out our supporters list, which are on our supporters page on our website.
And there's follow packs for all those lists too, so you can follow all these people on Noster with a couple clicks.
That's right. Follow our community, right? So this would be our guests. This would be Reb and myself and all the people who boost the show. It's really cool seeing the feed. You know, we have the local Bitcoiners NPub, and that feed is primarily our community members. And I'll be honest, scrolling through that feed is actually pretty cool. So yeah, definitely go check out those follow packs and follow our community. All right. Final leaderboard. Top boosts of all time. These are, will continue to be referred to as kind of our pseudo ad reads. And they're not ad reads because we have some sort of contract because we have some sort of formal agreement where we have to promote, you know, your product because you sent us sats. There are no rules here. The rules are, you know, we have agreed social contracts here to read off the top boosts of all time. We're going to read those off every week. You know, at our discretion, but that's basically the plan for right now. So effectively, this kind of makes these sort of like ad reads. And it looks like people are using it that way. We have another week and another new number one boost of all time, which is just incredible. So this one also came in from Sovereign. Sovereign, at this point, if you haven't noticed, are definitely friends of the show. So let's read off their new boost. So their new boost came in via localbitcoiners.com. They didn't boost a specific episode this time. Instead, they just boosted the show. They boosted us 300,000 sats, which is really, honestly, completely unbelievable. So thank you again to Sovereign, and let's read off their message here. Sovereign is the geek squad for Bitcoiners and Bitcoin companies. Come check us out at sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N. Thanks, Rev and Reed. Well, thank you, Sovereign. We thank you for your support, and we'd be happy. You know, we're happy to read off your boosts and to promote your company. So thank you again for these mega, mega boosts. Very much appreciated. All right. So number two, the number two spot also belongs to Sovereign. So Sovereign, and this time they boosted episode 15. And I think we all know why they boosted episode 15. As we talked about before, a third of those sats are going straight to the Samurai Developer Fund. So those sats are going to get used to help their families and to help with additional legal fees and anything else that they need. And so I think Sovereign must have heard that message and decided they're going to send 200,000 sats, again, via localbitcoiners.com. And so if you bear with me here 1 second while I wait for my page to load.
I can read it if you don't have it up. I got it up right here.
Yeah, why don't you go for it?
All right, so for 200,000 sats, here's what Sovereign has to say. Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Go to sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N, for support on your Bitcoin journey.
Hell yeah. All right. Thank you again to Sovereign. And I do have my page loaded this time. All right. Brings us to our third biggest boost of all time, which also is coming in from localbitcoiners.com. So to me, you know, the fact that all of our biggest boosts of all time are all coming in via our website, hopefully that's a cue to you guys that we've made this process of boosting on the website very easy. In fact, it's a lot easier to boost on our website than it is even to log into Fountain to find the episode that you want to boost and to type in your message. So definitely consider going to check out localbitcoiners.com. So our third biggest boost of all time, also from localbitcoiners.com, came in from BTC Jackalope, and he sent us 105,000 sats. And here is his message. Escape to the Listening Loft Cabin in Wilmington, Vermont, a modern two-bedroom retreat featuring a signature vinyl record listening loft, luxury bedding, and a peaceful deck. Perfect for skiing at Mount Snow or a relaxing getaway. Pay in Bitcoin and get 20% off. Visit listeningcabin.com for more information. And that boost came in on episode 2, Meetups are the Ultimate Web of Trust, Jersey City, which BTC Jackalope, who is a member of my meetup, he continues to talk about episode 2 as his favorite episode. So there he is. Now he's putting his sats where his mouth is and really promoting those guys. So happy to shill the listening loft, BTC Jackalope. Love to see it. All right. And so our fourth biggest boost of all time is once again from Sovereign via localbitcoiners.com. And so here's their message. Here's what I'm thinking. Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Go to sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N, for support on your Bitcoin journey. And that boost came in on episode 14, Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode. All right, and our final biggest boost of all time came in via Fountain for 69,421 sats with a message that reads, attend your local meetup, and if there isn't one in your area, start one. Local Bitcoiners is an essential part of my 40 hours per week. BTC Russell. And that boost, of course, was on episode 15, Privacy is Sovereignty, with BTC Russell from Columbia, South Carolina. Whew. Well, those are our leaderboards. And before we start transitioning here to our boosts, the first thing I sort of want to do is apologize, because normally I've been doing a shout out to the streamers, and I'm pretty sure last week I did not do that. Blew right by it. I think we were talking about maybe some of the website tools and skipped right over it. So we do actually have a growing list of streamers. I think there's about 20 streamers listed here on our website. And this is, again, on our stats page. So if you want to see all of our streamers, you can go to localbitcoiners.com/sats. And right up at the top of the list is Logs. Logs has been in first place on this list for some time, and his sat total continues to grow, which means he continues to be streaming us sats. And he is up to 9,918 sats streamed via Fountain. Second place on that list is Chad F. Chad F., longtime listener of the show, big-time contributor to the show, lots of boosts, lots of streams. Chad F. has even pulled out a PR for our website, which is on GitHub. And so he's a contributor listed on our GitHub resources as well. So thank you to Chad F. And his app of choice for Podcasting 2.0 is Castomatic. And so he has sent in 8,286 sats via Castomatic. And so since this isn't a leaderboard, I'll just read off a few more of the top contributors here. We got We All Eat, Used to Read a Lot, Hot Wax Social Club, Pleb to Polymath, Random Junk, Julio, Eric PP. Thank you all so much for all your contributions and for streaming us sats and supporting the show that way. And then the last thing I wanted to read off too is we've had this section of our stats page, and it's been largely not super interesting until recently. So we have a top zappers section. So what that means is that if you zap a note on Noster that was published by the local Bitcoiners NPub, we actually count those and keep track of those. And so we actually had a huge boost come in from Cleveland Bitcoin. And I don't have the message here, but I took a note. It's on my plans here to start adding what were some of the zap messages that came in, because they zapped us 21,000 sats. And I wanted to, if there was a message on that, I wanted a way to display that on our website. So thank you again to Cleveland Bitcoin. You are our, far and away our biggest zapper of all time. So we appreciate that.
The cool thing to note about the zaps is that when you zap any of our stuff on Noster, this goes to our shared wallet, which we're using the sats that come to this wallet to help the velocity, help this value chain continue to react and grow. And so we're zapping people back on Noster. We're boosting other podcasts with these sats. These are not sats that I'm going to the meetup with and buying my coffee or anything. These are sats that are going back out into the community. And so if you want to just help promote the velocity of all of this stuff that we're trying to get going here with local Bitcoiners, that's a place where you can contribute in that way. And once again, you don't even need to be on any podcasting app. You just interact with us on Noster, zap stuff, and you will get recognized there for that contribution.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that takes care of the leaderboards. That takes care of most of our shout outs. Rev, would you like to start reading off the boosts that have come in since last episode?
Absolutely, man. And you know, we got a lot of boosts from the last episode, which was with episode 16, Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Bitish from Cleveland, Ohio. And so I'm going to try and keep it short as I can and efficient here, but we got quite a few boosts to get through, but let's go.
We're going to power through, baby.
Yeah. The first one, is we've already heard from Sovereign, 200,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. Why not? I'll read it again. Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Go to sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N, for support on your Bitcoin journey. And that was actually the boost that went to Privacy is Sovereignty with Bitcoin Wrestle, Columbia, South Carolina, episode 15. And a big chunk of those sats are going to help the Samurai devs. Next up, we got 333 sats via Castomatic from Chad F., our great friend of the show, Chad F. And Chad F. says, "Hello, Cleveland. I know Biddish from his work in V4V Music." He's got a guitar emoji, a drum emoji, and microphone emoji in there. And that's from Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Biddish, Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. Thank you very much, Chad F., for your continued support. And guess what? The next boost is 333 sats via Castomatic from Chad F. again. "Boost to beer pipeline is something I can get behind." And that's from Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Biddish, episode 16. I don't know what he's referencing there, boost to beer pipeline.
Oh, because you said you went to the corner store and bought your beer with Bitcoin from the podcast boost.
There you go. Yeah. See,
hell yeah.
If you guys boost the show, you know, I may or may not be buying some beer with those sats. You can buy me a beer and I will drink it while we record and have a good old time. Clay, you got something to add there?
Yeah, we got to start a brewery called Velocity Beer or Velocity Brewing or something like that. But I think that's what that was getting at.
Yeah, velocity is word that I've been using more and more often lately. And, you know, it's kind of where my head's been at. Next, we got 333 sats via Castomatic. Here comes Chad F. again. "Boosting for the hot Keysen talk." Chad F. likes to hear about Keysen. I don't know if the Keysen development is going to happen or not, but it sounds like Keysen's a pretty cool thing that a lot of people just are sleeping on. So, hey, here's another shout out there. Anyone who works with Lightning wallets, you got a Lightning wallet, make this Keysen stuff happen, because it makes a lot of what we're trying to do with this value ecosystem work, especially when it comes to the music. It sounds like that's really crucial for the music.
Yeah.
So please try and figure that out. Next, we got 333 sats via Castomatic from Chad F. yet again. "If a guest boosts their own episode, it should subtract from the total, not add it." Laughing emoji. Well, maybe you got a point there, Chad. This is the whole fun of the game. We're trying to figure out if people figure out a way to break our little our gamification here. And
noted.
You know, if it gets to be super broken, we might have to change the rules. But up until this point, it's been a lot of fun, and I don't think anyone's got anything too much to complain about with it. So, but hey, maybe Chad F is proposing a new rule to the game.
Well, we like to call it, we've called it in the past a guest discount, right? Like you get a little bit of a subsidy here. So you get full credit for the stats on the webpage, but you know, you get a little bit back. So
yeah, it's an opportunity to promote your meetup, promote whatever you got, and keep your voice alive here in the community. And you get a little bit of a discount as a perk for being on the show. Next we got 1,230 sats via Fountain. I don't know if that's a meme number. 1237. I don't think so. And that's from God's Death. And God's Death says, "Thank you, gentlemen." And that was on Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners, episode 16 with Biddish. And here, that's the core member, the core group there. God's Death, keeping the consistency alive. Thank you very much, God's Death. Next, we got 333 sats via Castomatic from Chad F. "Very sneaky read. I was about to fix the issue with Castomatic messages not being shown, but you beat me to it." Big eyes emoji. And so I think we're going to hear a little bit more about this in the next few boosts, because then Chad F has 333 sats from Podcast Guru. Oh, he's boosting from a different app now, Podcast Guru, with just the big eyes emoji. And next we have 333 sats from CurioCaster, a different podcasting 2.0 app. And then he says, "Might as well test CurioCaster while I'm at it." So it sounds like Chad F is trying to see what's going on with boosting from all these different podcasting 2.0 enabled apps. Next, we got 333 sats via Podcast Index from Chad F. And he says, "Toast." And all of these are on episode 16 with Biddish. Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, so the story here is I actually happened to notice as well. So when the first few boosts that you read off from Chad F., those were coming in and they were giving credit for the sats and the person and the episode, but the message wasn't coming through. And so I happened to notice kind of not live, but like, you know, within a pretty short period of time after the boost came in. And so I was like, gee, what, you know, what's going on? I happened to be at my computer, fired up the agent, tried to do some diagnostics, figured out what the issue was. It wasn't pulling in the messages from Castomatic correctly, got the issue fixed, posted the update, pushed it to the site, ended up getting all the messages back into the stream here. We actually republished the notes so that way we'd have them on the feed, on the website. And so Chad F. was in one of the replies saying like, hey, where's my message? And he replied to that same note where he said, very sneaky, Reed. He was just like, he typed it in with his agent to fix the problem and said, this issue has been fixed 37 minutes ago.
You beat just him to timing. It. That's how on the ball we can be. I wouldn't say we're going to be that on the ball all the time, but we're paying attention. When you guys are boosting, we're making sure that this shit is working the way we expect it to. And because it's fun. And we do want to showcase that this is the potential that Nostr has to offer. We can get this information to propagate really broadly and really quickly from one single action that you take. You can get your message out there to a lot of different places all in one spot, all at once. Next, we got 500 sats via Boost Me Bitch, which is a Chad F. Cool thing, another podcast, a place where you can boost other shows. And this is from Plebin Flow. And they say, I started listening from the very beginning. Love the content. I'm inspired to start a meetup in my area. It's dead out here. I just feel like I'm too much of a noob in the space. Imposter syndrome. And that was just a general boost to the show. There's no episode associated with that. And so, yeah, Plebin Flow, don't get discouraged. There's no imposter syndrome to be had. Anyone can start a Bitcoin meetup. You can learn as much from the people that come to your meetup as you have to teach them. Clay, did you have something you wanted to add there?
Yeah, just if you're wanting to do it and you don't know what to do and you feel like a noob, you are not too noob to just do a social. Just say, we are meeting at a brewery, at a bar, at wherever, and we're just hanging out. You don't have to know anything for that. So feel empowered to do that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Just start it. See what happens.
And Plebin Flow, if you've been listening from the beginning, you're probably actually a lot more prepared than most meetup organizers were when we all started. Most of us didn't know what the heck we were doing either. And so, but if you've been listening, if you're 16 episodes into Local Bitcoiners, you've heard so many different meetup stories at this point. You're actually going to be extremely well prepared. So I would say no chance. You're too much of a noob. I would say go ahead and get it started. You'll be surprised.
Yeah. Your meetup is going to kick ass, dude. Just go do it. It's going to be great. Next, we got 111 sats via localbitcoiners.com. What's that? A row of sticks. I heard that's called a row of sticks. All right. We got that from Perminerd, and Perminerd says, every episode is interesting and full of useful content. I end up following every guest that I wasn't aware of previously. The community is growing, and it is a beautiful thing to watch. And that's from Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Bitish, Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. Thank you for continuing to participate with us, Perminerd. And, you know, Perminerd and Oshi have a podcast called the Yada Podcast, which I am a regular listener to, a regular booster to. And, you know, Perminerd, as in his name, Perminerd likes permaculture on the Yada podcast. If you're interested in hearing a little bit more about this permaculture stuff that I bring up all the time, they go into great detail about permaculture on that podcast. They actually have a segment dedicated to permaculture there. So get your permaculture questions into the Yada podcast about permaculture. All right. Next, we got 5,000. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I know we have a million boosts to get through, but hearing the permaculture thing, I actually meant at Rev to send you a message about this too. But so Sovereign also has a podcast, and their most recent podcast episode is also about permaculture. So the permaculture is, it's spreading, right? It's becoming a hot topic again. So if you're looking for some more permaculture content, go check out also the Sovereign's podcast, which I can't actually remember the name of the podcast off the top of my head, but go check that out as well.
Well, the Sovereign Podcast is called Becoming Sovereign. It was formerly known as the Bitcoin Business Podcast. Brandon Karpeles is the host of that podcast, and it is excellent. Brandon Karpeles gets you might have seen a guest, you know, someone. Cedric Yingleman from the guy from the Bitcoin Matrix was on there recently. I've heard that dude on a podcast a million times, and Brandon Karpeles got that dude talking about shit that I've never heard him talk about. And so, like, it's a really good. He's able to tease out a lot of cool conversations from these people that you might have thought you heard everything they had to say before. Well, no, you haven't. If you go listen to the Becoming Sovereign podcast. Next, we got 5,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And this is from Witsixer, WHIT6R. And they're saying, thanks for having Bittish on, guys. He's a Cleveland OG and a hell of a good guy. Great job as always with the podcast, I'm assuming. And that was with Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Bittish, Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. Well, thanks for boosting. And Bittish is definitely a guy worth following on Noster, especially if you're interested in the value for value music stuff. He's got a lot going on there in addition to the Cleveland meetups stuff that he's doing. Next, we got 199 sats via Fountain from Alice A. And Alice A says, my feedback from a year with the Cleveland Bitcoiners is too much fun, beers emoji, not enough education, books emoji. Glad to hear some changes are happening. Thumbs up. So this is feedback for the Cleveland group. You know, Alice A is having fun, you know, having some beers and stuff, but she wants to learn too. And I know Bittish was saying that it's touch and go with the educational component. It is one of those things, like Clay was saying, where the community needs to step up and offer up this educational content. It's very hard to curate month after month a new topic to educate on and prepare for that and do a presentation and all this stuff. In Grand Rapids, the educational meetup was very much a community driven educational thing where every month the call went out to the group chat. Does anyone want to present this month? What do you want to present on? And sometimes there'd be several people that wanted to present on something. And then we'd kind of vote on who would get to actually do their presentation. And that was a really kind of grassroots organic way to do it. So maybe something to try is just to throw that out there, LSA, and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in these topics. Does anyone want to teach me about them? And maybe someone will step up and do a presentation to the group. Next, we got 5,000 sats via Fountain from Matthew D, one of our longest contributing core members of the local Bitcoiners community, Matthew D. And Matthew D says, signal BIP110 this summer on your Bitcoin node. It's happening at block 961632. 961,632. That's the block height it's happening at. Right now, we're at block height 954,260. There's a lot of cool DIY nodes you can make or run something through a cloud service. Just have fun with it. And that was on Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Bittish, Cleveland, Ohio. So yeah, if you're interested in, signaling for BIP110, Matthew D is saying, go ahead and give that a try. Next, we got 100 sats via Fountain from Pyrohawk. Guess this is an area I don't understand. What's the advantage of buying from RoboSats or BISC and running through Whirlpool versus an exchange run through Whirlpool? Just an extra layer of disconnection. And that was on Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell from South Carolina, episode 15. And so my answer to you, Pyrohawk, is that if you're buying on chain from one of these peer-to-peer exchanges and not on a regular old exchange, a KYC-free exchange, you could say, the person that you're buying, when they send you that UTXO, if you don't obfuscate that UTXO through Whirlpool, they can continue to watch what you're doing with that Bitcoin. And so that's the advantage of using a Whirlpool or Wasabi or any of these CoinJoin services, is that you break the link that the person that's sending you the Bitcoin, the person who's sending you the Bitcoin, they can no longer tell what you're doing with it. And that can be, for some people, that's important and worth the extra step. And the difference with the exchange is that you're breaking the link so that the exchange can no longer see what you're doing with the Bitcoin. So it's either the individual you're buying the Bitcoin from can watch you, or the exchange can watch you. No matter who's sending you this UTXO, as soon as it lands in your wallet, they can continue to watch that address and see what's going on. If you Whirlpool it, if you do any sort of coin join, they will no longer be able to see what you're doing with that Bitcoin.
And the argument too, in case part of the question here was, you know, is it just as good to run it through, you know, like a Whirlpool type service alone versus, you know, if I'm just buying through an exchange, for example, if I run it through the Whirlpool, am I then good? And, you know, my answer to that would be, you know, the exchange still knows how much sats you bought. And so regardless of if they can keep track of where it goes on chain, it is an extra good, a good extra layer of disconnection to buy it peer to peer, as opposed to buying it off of a KYC exchange.
Yeah, the KYC exchange still has the record of your name and how much Bitcoin you bought. And if at some reason, we don't know, guys, if these exchanges are going to go bankrupt someday, if they're going to get hacked, that information is there for somebody to get. And
they're almost certainly going to turn that information over to the IRS or the government. So
who knows? It's there for them to leak, however it leaks, for them to do that. You can't stop them from sharing that information or from somebody getting it. And so personally, I try to avoid having any of that information available to anyone. I do not want to attach my identity to Bitcoin at all. But so hopefully that answers your question. Next, we got 500 sats via Fountain from Code, with no message. And that's on Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Bitish, Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. Thank you again, Code. Code has been pretty consistently boosting, and we really appreciate that. You know, if you feel like it, Code, you can hop on the website instead of Fountain and do a boost sprint and get up onto our leaderboard there. Next, we got 1,000 sats via Fountain from Random Junk with no comment. And that was on episode 1, Starting and Growing Meetups, Western Mass and South Bend, Indiana. And so thank you, Random Junk, for keeping episode 1 alive and making sure that everyone recognizes the value in that first episode. Once again, if you go back to episode 1 and you're looking to start a meetup, this is going to give you all the nuts and bolts, basic information on what you need to know to get a meetup going off on the right foot forward. Next, we got 101 sats via Fountain from Noster Gang. Must be the name. I always assumed Bitish was British. And that's from Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Bitish, Cleveland, Ohio. And you know, Noster Gang, that was my mistake, because when I blasted the episode out into all the group chats, the autocorrect did change it from Bitish to British. And so that may be where some of the confusion came in. But I'm glad you're paying attention. Go ahead, Clay.
I read a correct version and was processing it as British. So some of us, you might have made the mistake. My brain was also making the mistake anyway, despite autocorrect.
Okay, so there you go, Noster Gang. You're not the only one. You're not alone in the world. Bitish is not British, but he is Bitish. Next, we got 500 sats via Fountain from Battersea Bitcoiners. I truly believe the first time attendees at meetups is the strongest signal we have. Great episode with Bitish. Any listeners planning to visit London, reach out to me. And that was for Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Bitish, Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. And thank you again, Battersea Bitcoiners. You've also been really boosting very consistently, and we really do appreciate the continued participation and getting the velocity of this value chain going. And, you know, SourceNode was talking about on his international travels how he was able to reach out to through the grapevine and find some connections on a layover, and had an amazing experience with Bitcoiners in a place where he knew nobody. And so, you know, Battersea Bitcoiners is offering this opportunity up for you. If you go follow him on Noster and you find yourself in London, you can get connected and really see what's going on over there. Next, we got 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com from the Western Mass Bitcoin Meetup. And the message is boosting my meetup from localbitcoiners.com. There's information about the Western Mass Bitcoin Meetup, which is a Noster event embedded into this boost. So if you're seeing this on Noster, you can click that event and get all the details. And this is just Reed exemplifying some of the cool things you can do now that we've integrated this concept of boosting a podcast with Noster. You can embed a Noster note, whether it's a meetup or anything that you want, your favorite note, a product that you're selling, anything. It will come into this boost, and then it will be propagated out through our MPub for other people to see who follow us, as well as for your own social graph. And so that's a really cool feature that we, I feel like people are sleeping on it. You know, it's a really good thing that you can do.
And actually, it seeing this note here like this reminds me that there's another feature that we added that we haven't even had a chance to talk about yet until now. So a lot of Noster clients we have found, like not all Noster clients respect these NIP52 events. And so it might just say, event not found or event type not supported. So in addition to the actual note itself that has the meetup information, we also provide a web link. And so our web link points to Plectos.app, shout out Derek Ross, with a link to the event there. And so if it's not loading in your client, you can click the web link. It's just a URL and click on that and it will open in Plectos.
Yeah, there you go. We're trying to even make it available, the information available on all clients, even if the client that your client of choice is not rendering or not rendering these meetup event kinds or whatever event kind you might put in your boost. Next, we got 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Jay Nada with no message. And that's from Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with Source Node, Greenville, South Carolina, episode 14, I'm sorry. Well, thank you, Jay Nada. I think that's the first time I've seen you come in here and boost, and welcome to the pioneers. You're part of the community now.
Hell yeah.
Next, we got 500 sats via Fountain from Clay Seal. No comment with boosts on local Bitcoiners. Parallel systems for silent Bitcoiners with Biddish, Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. Well, thanks, Clay, for taking the time to hit that boost button and share your support for Cleveland. Let us know that the fellow Ohio Bitcoin meetup culture is strong. And you know, Clay, we're gonna have
to get connected. So yeah.
We're having Columbus on for the next episode. So the Ohio Bitcoiners are gonna be well represented in these three episodes here.
That's awesome.
Which is cool. There's a lot going on. You'd be surprised. Pretty much anywhere you look on the map, at least in the United States, there's local Bitcoiners to be found everywhere.
Ohio against the world.
There you go. Next, we got 2,121 sats from Plebeianon, which Plebeianon is Brandon Karpeles from the Sovereign podcast, the Becoming Sovereign podcast. And he says, great rip, gents. Source Node actually does deserve credit for the Sovereign boost, but it was an intentional zapvertising with you guys. Nice to see Biddish on the show, too. Cheers. And that was from Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Biddish from Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. And so thanks, Brandon. We did kind of debate. We weren't sure if Sovereign was boosting or if it was Source Node kind of repping his own show. But why not? Let's have some fun. Yeah, there you go. So thank you all, you know, everyone over there at Sovereign, Source Node, Brandon, and the rest of the crew for really, you know, joining the team over here at Local Bitcoiners and making this experiment fun for everyone. We can see the sats flowing around. Okay, and that leads into the next boost, which is 300,000 sats. Holy smokes. From localbitcoiners.com, and that's from Sovereign. And Sovereign says, Sovereign is the geek squad for Bitcoiners and Bitcoin companies. come check us out at sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N. Thanks, Reed and Rev. And man, Sovereign, you guys are really, you're playing the game with us and we love it. We're having
taking
fun.
Advantage of those ad read spots. Love it.
And so this was actually, so Sovereign just came in. So this didn't come up on any of the other episodes, right? They just came to the website. Once again, Sovereign made the effort to come to the website, click that boost button and boosted right there. And guess what? 100,000 of those sats, because there was no show, there was no guest to split out with, went straight into our value for value contribution wallet. So now we've got 100K sats to play with to get back out there into the community. And now it's almost becoming a challenge to where we have to figure out some bounties or something to get you guys to earn these sats out of here. We got to get these sats flown out of the wallet and back out into the community so everyone can benefit from this contribution and interaction.
That's right.
Let's interact, get that value chain going.
Interact with the show, ask questions, boost your products. If you're selling products on Nostr, tag us. You know, we'll find you, we'll boost you. This is what we do for our community members, right? So if you're on our supporters page, we're automatically following you. And, you know, that means you're going to be on our feed and Rev's going to be there trying to spread these sats around as much as he can. So
zap, definitely, zap. Going to get
that's
zapped.
That's right. And we're boosting other podcasts. It's a great thing. So Sovereign, you know, whether you knew it or not, you know, like Rev said, 100,000 of those sats are going right back out to the whole Nostr and podcasting 2.0 community. So thank you again. And yeah, we're going to keep that velocity high.
All right. And we got one final boost for the evening, and that's 888 sats via fountain from our good friend Bullish. And Bullish says, the next Bullish Market event is on Tuesday, July 21st, the 21st of every month. If you have something to sell and have been thinking about attending, reserve your booth for June 30th. Reserve your booth before June 30th and take advantage of the early Nostrich pricing, 1,000 sats for new vendors and 500 for returning. The website has been updated, so you'll automatically be added to the Nostr calendar event. More integrations to come. Got to keep cooking like the local Bitcoiners. And certainly you are cooking over there, Bullish. And
absolutely.
That's pretty darn cheap to participate in that market. You know, it's more of just a spam prevention mechanism at that point. And you can find all that information at bullishmarket.onrender.com. And so that rounds out the boost for the evening. Oh my goodness gracious. Thank you everyone so much for hanging with us and participating with the show. I just get so stoked every time we do one of these recordings and we get to spend just as much time giving back to the community as we do talking to the guests. And there's a lot of good signal in both sides, right? We got to talk with Clay,
absolutely,
learn all about Cincinnati, hear about Austrian economics. And then who knows what the hell can come up with the boosts and everything. So that was great fun too.
Yeah, we're still plowing through everything. It's really great hearing the feedback from all the community, from guys like Chad F, who are going around testing our website from every possible platform. We see you, we hear you. All of this stuff is super valuable. And yeah, we're really looking forward, you know, we're really have been enjoying getting to know our community, and we're going to be rolling out even more community related features. You know, we've said before, our website is a Nostr client. It's going to start looking and feeling more like a Nostr client here as we get more time to continue developing it.
Guys, the list is getting longer than shorter. All right. So it's going to be cool. We only got so much time to put in, almost like we got to kind of slow roll some of this stuff. So everyone can get used to playing with it before there's just like Amethyst, where every update there's 1,500 new things. I just stopped paying attention. I'm like, I don't care about it. It's almost annoying, right? When you have too much shit rolling out all the time. But we got stuff, all right? And actually, the final thing that I wanted to kind of tease out here is that, you know, if you made it to the end, you're listening right now, you are probably a good person to hear this message. So episode 15 with BTC Wrestle, if you go boost that episode and you send some sats towards the Samurai guys, I will match that after 1 month, I will match all the sats that get thrown down there. And so I just want you to know that, you know, when you're boosting that, you know, I know a third of the sats come to Reed and I, and a third go to there, but I'm going to match that for 1 month. And I want to see some good signal going in their direction. Even if it's a lot of money, not a lot of sats going that way, at least they'll see that there's velocity, right? That these little trickles of Bitcoin are coming in there, and that hopefully will give them some hope that we care, you know, that we're out there and we're paying attention and that we're participating and trying to do what we can.
Yeah, and I think with that message, Rev, if maybe I wasn't clear about it either, you know, I'm also happy to contribute in the same way. And we'll make sure that those matches happen, and it should be easy for us to go through and use a lot of our tools to figure that out. But yeah, episode 15, if you're looking for a place to boost, to get your message out there, to join our community, to have us blast your stuff out there while simultaneously sending some value back to the Samurai developers and their families as they are struggling through this time. Every little bit counts, and hopefully seeing the signal there will make a difference for them. All right. Well, this was a long one. Thank you all for the boosts. And I think if there's nothing else, we can roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.